Well, everybody, welcome into A Tribe Called Dad. This has been a crazy week. And if you're listening to this, we are in the middle of March right now at the time of this recording. The world seems to have just been put under this crazy cloud of anxiousness, of uncertainty. We're dealing with the coronavirus right here and now. And I figured that I really felt like we needed to do something and talk about this. So I brought our good friend, David Bruce, onto the show, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Culver City, specializing in depression, anxiety, addictions, working with individuals and couples. And he helped us through the Kobe situation fairly recently. And here we are again, David, meeting on such great circumstances.
Exactly. But hey, when the need is there, we gotta deal with it. So it's all right.
We have to. And you know, it's so crazy because I feel like with each turn, especially if you're watching the news, man, I mean, literally every time there's an update, I cringe. Like, I almost don't want to watch the news because I'm fearful of what's going to pop up here. But what I wanted to do is at least be able to put this in podcast form for all of our folks that are out there that listen to A Tribe Called Dad, any parents that are out there, particularly dads, who are looking at this upcoming week with a situation in which schools are shut down. We live in Los Angeles. LAUSD is closed for the next 2 weeks, I think they've announced, for the rest of the month of March. Right. And, you know, now everything is moving towards homeschooling, people working remotely. It's just a different world. Like, all of a sudden, we went from, you know, the beginning of March to now, and life is basically been flipped on its head a bit. So I wanted to take a moment for us to be able to address some of these concerns, some of these feelings that maybe people are having, and be able to provide potentially some tools that are out there, at least start a little bit of a discussion to let people know that they're they're not alone in thinking some of these things. So where do you feel like we should start here? I mean, there's so much here to unwrap.
Well, you're bringing up, you know, a lot of changes that are taking effect as a result of this. And a lot of those changes involve the whole idea about structure. Mm. And unfortunately, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, when there is a change in structure, our brains do tend to spike a little bit with anxiety because we all prefer structure. We like life when it is predictable. Mm-hmm. I know where to go for my job. I know where the food is, all those types of things. So right now, most of us are going through what in therapy terms we would call an adjustment process. We're adjusting from one structure to a new one. I would say in that interim, it can feel temporarily like there is no structure. You know, when they announce, okay, schools are closed. Right there, when you hear that, a parent's brain is now saying, for the next 2 weeks, I have no structure for my kid's life.
Right.
So that can be very stressful, but nonetheless, structure is important. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to, first of all, take good care of ourselves as dads so that we're not stressed out trying to come up with structure, but staying really calm and trying to be really creative in defining structure. So I would just say, you know, talking those kinds of things through with your kids. Obviously, I think there's going to be some type of educational plans sent out, I think, to parents. But, you know, I would just encourage, you know, dad and child coming up and building together a structure that works. Maybe, you know, maybe you do it one day at a time. Let's just plan Monday. You know, what are we going to do the first part of the day? What are some of your goals? What's important? You know, what are some things we can do to stay healthy on Monday?
Right.
I do notice I was on a consultation call this week with an organization, and, you know, after 30 minutes of talking about safety, it was quite interesting. I was having the opposite response to safety because when you keep talking about safety all the time, you suddenly don't feel very safe.
Right.
And you feel really concerned and alarmed. So I think it's really important to, you know, to not overemphasize or over discuss safety, but, you know, at least having some things thrown in there, some ideas, you know, let's wash our hands, you know, let's have fun washing our hands every couple hours or something like that.
Right.
But you want to mix your structure with, you know, constructive things. You maybe have plans for entertainment, mm-hmm. fun. But you gotta mix it up a little bit. Structure is good when it's got diversity to it. And it's got, you know, some benchmarks and check-ins throughout the day or throughout the week.
Yeah.
Probably
I feel like
the way I would go about that.
I feel like that's super important to be able to look at the day and start to break it up. And I was listening to somebody right. else who was talking about how, you know, we sometimes forget that, you know, when kids are at school, it's incredibly structured, right? Like they're
yeah.
doing this at this time. And then there's, you know, snack or there's recess or there's lunch. And like they're used to this structure. And oftentimes I think right. for us as parents who then, you know, have kids who are in school and then they're with us on the weekend, we kind of don't necessarily, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but you know, we don't implement a ton of structure on like Saturday or right. Sunday. You know, it's not
right.
that regimented, you know? So yeah, now I think there definitely is an adjustment for parents in the sense that now you've got your kids all day, you then also become the teacher and you've got to be able to wear these different hats. So talk to me a little bit about maybe some advice in terms of people who identify that like, hey, I'm not a great teacher. I mean, that's kind of the reason why, you know, that's not my profession or something, you know, and for the parent that's thinking right. that and is anxious about that,
right.
you know, what are some things that somebody should keep in mind, I guess, as they go into this week?
Well, definitely, hopefully there is some communication with teachers because obviously parents cannot like suddenly at a snap of the finger be great educators or mm-hmm. teachers. I definitely view that as a calling for a lot of people. And so I would say being very open with what reasonable goals there are in terms of education from a day-to-day basis. Again, hopefully there's some directions in terms of content that kids can focus on while they're not, you know, in the actual school rooms with their teachers. But I would say the other thing about structure that you just said, as parents, we have delegated that a lot to the schools. In other words, I drop my kid off at 8. Mm-hmm. I know there is structure for the next 8 hours, and, you know, I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that dilemma is on our plate. And so one thing I think that we can actually do, actually maybe even better at home is, you know, as you're building structure from day to day, and you know, maybe there's a time for some learning, there's a time for some recreation, there's some time for relaxation or exercise, because I do think we've got to have health somewhere in the curriculum here at home so that kids are staying active and staying healthy during this time. But the other important thing, I think, is at the end of each day, and we don't do this a lot in public schools, is let's evaluate our structure. How did it go today? And I think just having that kind of calm reflection at the end of each day with your kid, you know, maybe even some dads are going off to work and they're coming back home to check in with their kids. But still, just having that intentionality of let's review how today went, what went well, what didn't go so well, and what do we want to do better tomorrow?
Yeah,
I think that would calm a lot of the anxiety that the parents could be having as well as the kids in terms of, you know, working this thing out one day at a time.
For sure, man. All right. So I want to switch gears a little bit and I want to talk to you on how we explain this to our kids. You know, obviously this is everywhere. You can't go anywhere without the conversation going to coronavirus, whether it be small talk, whether it be things on TV, whether it be, you know, whatever that might be, social media for sure. And
right.
how do we address this with our kids? Because obviously there's a lot of adults who are scared and don't know what is going to happen. And then how do we communicate this to, you know, younger kids or even teenagers?
Yeah. I like what you said at the very beginning of this conversation. You talked about, you know, you turn on the news and you got to a point where now when you turn it on, you cringe.
Mm.
That's correct. And I think that is perhaps your body and your mind communicating to you, I think I've had enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's the number one in terms of before we communicate anything to our kids, we've got to make sure that as parents, as a dad, I have been informed enough, not over-informed, and not naive, you know, and right. have no clue what's going on. But I think the main point is I've got to know enough in measure. Mm. You know, in other words, I've got to have enough information where I kind of know what's going on and I can explain this. And, you know, I know we've compared it to like, you know, catching the flu or catching the cold. There are some very simple things we can do to really take care of ourselves, to keep ourselves safe. But I would just say most importantly is communication in measure. Mm. Don't talk about this with your kids for, you know, an hour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to say we know what's going on. But, you know, we've got other things to do and other things to focus on, you know, besides just the virus.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know, what's worse, but I think the people running to the store and stockpiling for what would be a year's worth of toilet paper or what, all of that stuff that's going on. I mean, how does one find balance in that? Where is the line in terms of I've had enough information? Is it listening to your body and being able to say, like how I just told you that I was cringing when it comes to that? Is that then a sign that, okay, I've had enough?
Yes, I think that is, yeah. For an adult especially, paying attention to what's going on inside of you first and mm-hmm. listening to that very carefully, because what happens is I think a lot of people don't like how they feel, and so they try to ignore how they feel by thinking more, worrying more, and stressing more, which is actually what makes the feelings worse. So when you catch that first impulse of, ugh, cringing, like, okay, I'm getting a little annoyed by this third article, or I'm getting a little fearful by this third or fourth social post I've read, you know, that's your body saying, okay, let's take a break. Let's take a deep breath. And now, and this is a big thing we talk about in the recovery community, it's learning to determine what I have control over and what I do not. Mm. And when we over-focus on things outside of our control, we stress ourselves out. And as a dad, when we do that, you're not just stressing yourself out. You are indirectly or implicitly going to be stressing your kids out. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to say anything. I think, you know, stress leaks, whether it's in words or body language or, you know, just the energy around a person can stress people out. So I think that's where, as dads, being rigorous to take really good self-care during this time and being very focused on what's within your control. I can control how much media I'm going to consume. I can control when I'm going to go to the store or people that I'm going to call to find out maybe some ideas or some strategies of what they're doing to, you know, get means, whether it's food or supplies and stuff like that.
Do you think that the hoarding and all that that's happening at the stores, that like the hysteria around that, is that a reaction to a loss of control?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's creating the opposite effect of what we're being told. We're, you know, social distancing. No, that makes sense. You know, don't be around a lot of people at the same time and don't be too close because, you know, we're trying to be cautious about germs, but yet we're listening to that information in cramming ourselves in a store with dozens of people. I mean, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, we're not listening to what we're being informed about. We're reacting to it. Yeah. And I just think that's where, I think we've got to really kind of slow it down, take some deep breaths, and focus on what we can control.
Yeah, I mean, it is wild. And yeah, I mean, I think the more media that we consume, I think the crazier it gets. What are some other things that you're noticing, things that maybe you've picked up on over the last several days that are worth us talking about here?
Well, one, let's be aware and let's acknowledge that even though we're getting a lot of messages about, you know, staying at home and people are not going to work or, you know, schools are closing down. Meanwhile, we do have this remarkable form of technology, whether it's by phone or by email, we can actually stay very connected. Very connected. So I would just say, you know, if we were having this situation 100 years ago, yeah, I'd be pretty concerned, because human beings in isolation don't typically do very well. When we don't connect to other people, our immune system goes down, our general mood goes down. We're not healthy in isolation. But what I have noticed is a lot of people are tapping into their community, you know, whether it's their circle of friends or their faith community or their family members. There's a lot of communication going on and connection being made, which is actually, I think, working in a positive way for a lot of people. Like, I even spoke to someone yesterday. You know, they've had some tensions with one of their parents for many years. But when this crisis came up, you know, they kind of reevaluated and thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and give them a call and just see how they're doing. So it's interesting. People are reevaluating some pretty, I think, important things during this, you know, somewhat stressful time.
Yeah, it definitely forces, I think, all of us to take inventory on what matters. I think it's also going to challenge us as a society of the way we do things and why we do things in that way. And could they be done in a different way? Like this, this online learning concept is something that I think will really come out of this, and, you know, how we communicate, as you mentioned, because I think there's a way to still foster and create community and build community with distance. And we've known this for, you know, however long, but I think the way in which we do it, how effective it is when we're now forced in a position to be in this way, I think it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of that.
That's right. And that reminds me of one of my favorite little quotes is, discomfort is sometimes growth trying to happen. And I would say that is happening at an individual level. And as you just noted, that's also, I think, happening in at a communal level or a societal level, that, wow, we're going through something really uncomfortable, but I see what your mindset that you just described is not a stressed perspective, but a creative perspective.
Yeah.
In other words, what might be coming out of this that is good?
Absolutely.
People hoarding the grocery stores are not asking that question right now.
Right.
And trust me, they're not happy.
Yeah.
But I mean, to pause and to really consider that, see, that's the kind of energy that is, I think, a real blessing to give your kids. That, hey, you know what? I think we're going through a tough time right now, but you know what? There might be some really interesting things that we're going to learn and discover by getting through this thing one day at a time together.
100%. I think there's also this reset of family values that I think is going to come out of this for a lot of people, you're now in the home and you aren't, you know, so far away from your kids all day. I mean, like, you are there. Now, the one of the last things I wanted to ask you, and then I want to get to a top three, is, all right, we've got to work from home. Kids have to go to school at home. How do we navigate this? Because I don't want to feel like I am not being present, but I also know that there's things that need to get done. And so this isn't, you know, a 2 week, 4 week, however long this goes, vacation necessarily.
Right.
Like, there's still things that definitely need to get done. So, and I know I'm able to do this in sort of shorter form, but how do we really pace this thing out for this extended period of time? What are some tools?
Well, I would say let's start by keeping it really simple. And I would say probably the number one theme I would encourage families to keep in mind is the idea of boundaries. And I think parents, you know, being really authentic about, okay, I have these certain responsibilities that I've got to do, you know, throughout the day. And I need to work on these things from, you know, from 8:30 to 10. And then from 10 to 10:30, I'm going to take a break and maybe check in with you, and we'll, I don't know, play Go Fish. And then I got to go back, take care. So in other words, I think really what is parenting? It's trying to teach our kids how to be an adult. Mm-hmm. And this is where, even at a younger age, we are training our kids in this. You know, school is kind of like a job. You check in, mm-hmm. you fulfill certain responsibilities, and it goes well with you. So I would say we've definitely got to coordinate boundaries at home, parents being transparent about the boundaries they need to have to get their jobs done and to get their responsibilities fulfilled, and then say, hey, guess what, son? You're going to do the same thing that dad's doing. You've got some responsibilities to do today, and let's talk about the boundaries that you're going to need. You know, when are you going to do this and do that, and setting that all up, maybe writing it out, having a checklist. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's the idea of boundaries, and I think that's where this could be a remarkable learning opportunity for kids.
I agree.
To learn this from home and with their parents, and learn more about their parents.
And vice versa. Yeah. I think this is a great opportunity for parents to, you know, learn how to manage their own time as well, because I think there's a lot of people that are out there. There's a lot of adults that haven't had to go through this exercise, especially if you're the type of person who it's like you go to work and you're told what to do. Now it's like you've got to be in a situation in which you're managing yourself. You need to be a self-starter at home. You need to be able to manage that time effectively. Really interesting stuff. I'm really excited to get to a top three. We're going to do a top three right after this. We're going to take a quick break, quick word from our sponsors. We'll come right back. David Bruce has a top three for us, so don't go anywhere.
A Tribe Called Dad. This is the top three.
It's the top three.
It's the top three.
This is the top three.
All right, here we go. We've got a top three pieces of advice during quarantine time. I don't even know what to call this. I've got David Bruce on the line. We were talking through just all of the feelings that were coming up and some of the things that are good to keep in mind during this coronavirus pandemic, is what they're calling it. And I want to get in here, and you've got some great pieces of advice for people to keep in mind moving forward here in this week and the coming week. So here we go. Number one. All right, give us number one, David.
Keep your hands clean and your mind calm. So obviously we've heard a lot about, you know, washing the hands a lot, which is really smart, and it's a good habit to keep in place. But you can wash your hands with stress and panic, or you can wash your hands with calm and with some fun. So I would just say, you know, parents, dads, taking good care of yourself and staying calm and dealing with, you know, your own stress or anxiety about this is really important. And staying connected and engaged with your kids and staying
love it.
You know, with clean hands is really good.
Give us a way to, you know, maybe one way to calm down. If you feel yourself just getting, you know, worked up over something, feeling these anxious feelings, what are some ways that we can calm ourselves down?
Well, one is taking in really good, slow, deep breaths. And not deep breaths from the chest, but deep breaths from your stomach. You will get a lot more oxygenized blood going through your system, which actually gets the brain in a much less stressed state. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of apps out there, you know, about meditation and mindfulness. I think those types of things, you know, we might scoff at them, but I think we scoff at them because our brains are going at such a pace, you know, we can't even fathom slowing down like that. But mindfulness, meditation, those are muscles to be developed. It's not like certain people have the gift of meditating and calming down. No, they've learned that skill. They've acquired it with practice. So even a dad experimenting with that with their child, I think would be an amazing idea. You know, let's do a 5-minute little guided meditation exercise, you know, from an app or something like that. I think would be gold.
Yeah. How many breaths does it usually take for somebody to calm down? Like some of those deep breaths that you're talking about.
I mean, it can obviously fluctuate from person to person, but I would say taking slow, deep breaths for at least 30 seconds, you should start noticing some form of transition happening in your brain. You know, you might feel a little bit of lightheadedness and a stillness. But again, I always tell people in the beginning, you know, just go ahead and count the breaths, you know, breathe in a count of four, hold for a count of four, exhale for a count of four, hold for a count of four. And that way you're counting the breaths, which actually helps your mind stay away from all the different types of thoughts that you want to have. And you're focused on counting and getting some rhythmic breaths going in and doing about, you know, maybe four or five of those, what we call square breaths, which is the count, the four count. Breathe in, hold, breathe out.
Got it. Breathe in, hold, breathe out, rest.
Hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and then back in. Okay. Love it. Great advice. All right, here we go. Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Be real.
Yeah,
be real.
Be real.
So this is not a time to be tough and, you know, I don't feel anything. We're just going to get through this. But I think dad's being real about, hey, you know what? I felt a little nervous or I felt worried or I was cringing the other day when I was listening to too much news or reading too much about this. I think us being honest about what we're feeling and talking about that in a calm way with our kids allows you then to really safely inquire, how are you doing? You know, what comes up for you when this kind of, when you hear about this? I just think that being honest about how we feel actually creates connection. And connection is the most important thing we need during times like this.
And where is the line between being real and then, you know, sort of putting more fear on the table for your kids, right? Because I think like that's one of the balancing acts is like you want to be, hey, I want to be honest about this. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go. But I also feel like my family is looking to me to be like, hey, so where are we, what are we doing? You know, what's going on here? Where do we find that line?
Well, it's funny you're asking about line. The way I usually teach this is I ask people to evaluate their particular feeling or emotion on a scale of 1 to 10. If they're feeling an emotion, let's go ahead and stick with fear since that's probably the most relevant one during a time like this. If your fear is above a 5, you're not ready to talk about it. And fear is an emotion that is designed to move us toward safety. So if I'm feeling 8 out of 10 in fear, that means I, as a dad, I got to take some measures to get that fear down to a 5 or a 4. And the way I might do that is, you know, I might take some deep breaths, or I need to just get some more information. Maybe I'm having so much fear because I don't understand something. So we've got to get ourselves to the right resources so that my fear can go down to a 5 or a 4. And typically emotions above a 5, we don't communicate. We don't articulate them. We inflict them. So once I can calm myself down and get my fear down to a 4 or 3, now you're probably in a good state so that you can then communicate and talk about that feeling without flooding or overwhelming your kid.
So good. So good. All right, here we go. Number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Be wise, but have fun. So obviously there's a lot of important responsibilities as a dad that we need to take in mind during this season that we're in. You know, we got to try to make sure we're taking care of food, we're taking care of our jobs, we're taking care of health. I mean, there's a lot of important responsibilities that we need to take care of. However, during all of that, we've got to have fun, and we got to have fun with our kids. So I would just make sure we're being very intentional, making decisions of how we're going to engage and have fun on a regular basis, whether that's, you know, playing board games or doing some type of physical activity or watching a show together, but really being intentional about fun, not waiting for it to happen, but really engaging that with our kids. It's great.
Yeah, I would also say, I think as a tip to any dads or any parents that are out there, I mean, I think also keep in mind that, you know, what our kids identify as fun isn't necessarily like going to this crazy place, or like, you know, oh, going to Disneyland is having fun. So now that that's been taken away, now there's like, oh, well, you know, they're not really going to want to sit around and play with a cardboard box. It's like, no, absolutely they do.
You don't know.
You know, or just yeah. like making games out of small everyday things. I mean, even in chores and trying to make chores fun somehow. And
yeah.
I absolutely agree with this whole notion of having fun and putting that slant on it. Because yeah, of course you could look at this as, oh, this sucks. We're stuck in the house. We can't go anywhere. Yeah. We can't do anything, you know, and all of this has been canceled. And, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in that negative energy. But I think if we're looking at this from a very positive point of view, this is a great opportunity. Many people are fortunate enough to even be getting paid leave at home for their jobs.
Yeah.
And we're in a situation too, where, you know, I think the world can sympathize if you don't get back to somebody right away. You know, I think we're in a really interesting time with this. So I think embrace this time that essentially we've been given and gifted to be at home and be great dads and be great partners and just be great human beings, I think, in this period in time. And to really step up, and this is going to be really interesting.
Wow. See, again, there's that creative perspective on the whole thing, which is just essential. And you're right. I would say, this is where parenting actually helps us become better adults, because, you know, I would say the most successful people in life that I admire are people that actually have fun doing what they do. They enjoy the work that they pursue. And if we have not figured that out as adults, we need to figure that one out. And just like you just said, we got to help our kids find fun in the little things around the house. Well, we got to do that in our adult world as well. You know, how do I think about my job in such a way, or how do I approach it in such a way where I actually enjoy it? Because if I'm doing a job for a paycheck, I guarantee you, you're not as happy as you could be.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is definitely a time, I think, for all of us to check in with all of that and really fully take inventory of what matters, what makes you happy, what brings you joy on an everyday basis. And man, we're here for any of those dads that are out there. I can't thank you enough, David, for participating in this conversation with me and for just always being available for this type of stuff.
My pleasure.
Are they able to still email you if they need additional help or have additional questions?
Yeah, any questions or follow-up? Sure. counseling@davidabruce.com.
There we go. There we go. I love it. For everybody out there, please be safe. Take these three things to heart. I think they're great pieces of advice here. And we're going to keep pumping out the shows too, just because I know people have got time, extra time on their hands. You need extra content. And if you haven't done so, you can listen back to some of the previous shows that we've had as well during this time. And I usually like to end the show like this.
Dads are better than moms. Dads better than moms.
Dads are better than mommy. Sorry.